most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
There's a wonderful African proverb that says, every time you say my name, my spirit shall live. To the children and the staff and the families at Sandy Hook Elementary School, we say your names. Charlotte Bacon.
Daniel Barden.
Rachel Davino.
Olivia Engel.
Josephine Gay.
Anna Marquez Green.
Dylan Hockley.
Don Hoxton.
Madeline F. Shu.
Catherine Hubbard.
Chase Kowalowski.
Essie Lewis.
James Mattioli.
Grace McDonald.
Anne Marie Murphy.
Emily Parker.
Jack Pinto.
Noah Posner.
Caroline Previti.
Jessica Ricos.
Avali Richmond.
Lauren Rousseau.
Mary Sherlock.
Victoria Soto.
Benjamin Wheeler.
Allison N. Wyatt.
Have you seen my childhood? I'm searching for the world that I come from. 'Cause I've been looking around and lost and found at my heart. No one understands me. They appear with its strange eccentricities, 'cause I keep
It's Sunday night here on Max and Friends here at LA Talk Radio. It's 11:11 on the East Coast, and I bet you all just know what my wish could be right now for 11:11 on the East Coast. And I'm just sending my love to everyone out there right now. My hometown is, you know, in Connecticut, so this whole Sandy Hook thing just seems so surreal. And I welcome Tamara Bowman here with me tonight because she is such a voice of compassion and understanding. Mm. And as Michael Jackson just sang in the song Childhood, before you judge me, try hard to love me. And I just love the quote that we opened up with, that every time you say my name, my spirit shall live. And Tamara, we just know their spirits are living, don't we?
Absolutely, Max. I mean, this is something that really hits us all right to the core of our being, because all of us can relate to the devastation of a loss like that, or at least imagine, although we can never put ourselves in the place of these parents or the families that are affected right now. It just has got to be a numb kind of transition, at the same time knowing that their spirits are living on. And that, I thank you for that, Max, in the beginning when we spoke their name, it was real, and we spoke their life and honored it, that they were here and they did make a difference and they were a part of something extraordinary.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always something bigger that's going to come out of this. And people always say, where was God? You know, how could this happen? And, you know, the questions, although they're therapeutic to ask, but sometimes there's just a reminder that we need to be still and know. And I think really that, you know, we take this holiday season, you know, later on we're going to be talking about the 12 gifts of Christmas. And the reason why I'm continuing that, Tamara, is because, you know, the 12 gifts of Christmas are about giving back. And Trista really put a beautiful list together. But, you know, it's like during this holiday season, we get so caught up in a rush, you know, and it's how many of those parents in that rush just didn't get to hug their child one last time? You know, we don't think that sometimes the end here on earth is going to happen to us the day that it happens. So we take it all for granted, and we just need to be still, people. You know, we need to calm down, take a breath, settle down, I like to say, just settle down and take notice of our surroundings, of our family, of our loved ones, and especially of the children in our life, because, you know, they are the little precious gifts that we're given here on earth. And, you know, Tamara, it was difficult because as this was all unfolding, I was at the Unicorn Children's Foundation office, you know, and we're building a school. So I was thinking, oh my God, like this could have been, you know, our school that we're working on right now. And then I thought, oh shit, this is in Connecticut. I hope it's not my niece's school. You know, and it just hit real hard and real fast. And I think as a nation, we're grieving and we're trying to understand. So, Tamara, what are some words that you feel right now in your spirit that people need to hear?
Oh, my gosh, Max, it's so true. I mean, really, to be still and know. I mean, we all took on a body for a reason. I mean, because we are spiritual beings and we're having a human experience. And I believe that this time reminds us of how important it is to connect with each other, to slow down, to connect with people visually. And that's one of the things, as I was reading about what would bring a person to a place where they would be so disconnected that they live in some other reality, like a video game, that isn't real, and yet will live that out as if it was the only thing that mattered. And it is that disconnection, Max. And that's one of the things that Max and Friends, and I know what you're about, is connecting people, reaching out, seeing someone, being present, giving them that hug and saying, man, you mean so much to me. I mean, I think that that's where we start to get disconnected and to feel separated. And I think when we start to feel separated, that's when these kinds of illusions and these grandeur dreams of dark delusions can even have a place that they are manifested. But yet out of those ashes is one of my favorite poems. You say, out of the ashes, I rise. You know, there are there's heroism, Max. I mean, there's people that rose up. There's that one teacher that sacrificed her body. I mean, she put herself in front of harm's way so that the children would be protected. I mean, the principal lunged at the guy. It was just like, I'm going to do something. I mean, the heroism that rises up that says, no, I will make a stand. I mean, just phenomenal. And then to remember that, you know, I mean, the father who even spoke is so much grief he had in his heart that his son was responsible for this tragedy.
Right.
It's a reminder of all of us looking at each other, taking that time to just take a deep breath, to hug each other because this time is so short and yet eternity is so long, and that we will have eternity to reminisce and connect. And the game here is on this planet Earth is to find that connection here and now in the darkness. It's lighting that candle in the darkness that permeates the minutiae that sometimes we wallow through to get to the light, but to remember that that light is in every single one of us, no matter how
Absolutely.
Dim it is.
You know, and what's interesting, Tamara, is that we really need to forgive the situation, because if we don't forgive what has happened to us, it's going to be very difficult for us to heal. You know, forgiveness is such a big thing in the process of this right now. You know, we were dealing with someone who was broken. You know, there was a disconnect, mm-hmm. as we say, but the word broken just really describes him. His life was in pieces rather than in peace. And now is really the time where we need to forgive, and we need, you know, we really need to, as a nation, as a world, we need to get together. We need to forgive. And we really need to understand that it is a time of brokenness. You know, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of disbelief. But as we said, the children will live as long as we say their names. Their families will heal as long as we send our love. And it's time to be still and know that what happened that day at that horrific scene could happen any day. And if we really need to start helping broken people go from pieces to peace.
And you know, Max, it's so beautiful what you just said, because I believe it's going to be with a gentle voice. It's almost like you're reminding children that the nightmare is over. Like you wake up and these children, these people that have sacrificed their lives, they're more alive now than they've ever been. There's an opportunity that they've awakened in a different dimension. And I believe the encouragement for us is for us to awaken, Max. It's like waking up from a bad dream, and it's that gentle voice that God is reminding us, I'm here, and life is never lost. It's temporarily here, but it's never gone. And that's why I love that you started us out with speaking their name. And Max is no stranger to loss. I mean, as you connect with your father at times, you know, his spirit lives on. It lives on in you and his words, and his life was so sacred and special that when we remember them and we learn from that, and we desire to live in an even greater capacity to love, it wasn't in vain.
That's right. And, you know, Tamara, tonight I was thinking, how are we going to do this show? Because, you know, I would love to have come on tonight. You know, tonight was the night I was going to do Max's Favorite Things. And my show is my favorite thing, because it's something that I'm giving to everyone of a pure place, you know. And it's a show where people can come one night and have a good time, and the other night we can be the counselors and the consolers that people need. And right now we are in a time more of just a nation. We're in a world that's hurting, because we're in a world that is so quick to judge and just take so long to forgive. You know, we need to reverse that. We need to be quick to forgive and take a long time to judge. But it is true that at this time, you know, there's people doing vigils and lighting candles and saying prayers, and may their prayers be lifted. But my prayer for this nation is that we forgive this broken person who went into that school that day with terror in his mind, with terror in his spirit, with brokenness, with a torn soul, and went rampage because when we know better, we do better. And he's mm-hmm. the kind of child, and I'm not passing any judgment on him, but, and I don't know his parents or his family, but there's a lot of him. There's a lot of him in this world. And with yes. our responsibility to treat children differently, to teach them respect. You know, that this goes into the whole anti-bullying campaign, if we want to get, put some red tape in there and speak propaganda. But, you know, it's like we really need to take responsibility for our actions and how we treat the youth of this nation. Mm. Respect is something lost. You know, children don't respect their elders anymore. And I think when there's no respect and when there's no discipline, this is what can happen. You know, there, every action has a reaction. So what mm-hmm. this child was thinking of and what his reaction was in my spirit, I feel, someone, you know, they say autism might have played a role, but it's bigger than that. You know, even if it did or it didn't, he was still a broken person. My point being, people, is that you need to just spend more time in forgiveness, spend more time in love, spend more time in humility, spend more time in peace, spend more time in just basking in the presence of those that we love. And now the holiday season is here, and there's all those families that aren't going to be able to bask in their physical presence, but my prayer is that they will bask in the spiritual presence that these children now are in, that these spirits are now flying around in this wonderful dimension that we really have no concept of, and that their spirits will resonate in the homes of these families to find forgiveness for the actions that took place.
Absolutely. And to remind each other that none of us have to be alone, because I think that that's part of what the shooter here was suffering so much from, was that feeling of isolation. And one of the things the kids would say is that, you know, nobody really bullied him, but if anybody tried to approach him, he would hug the wall or move in a different direction.
Yeah.
That's how disconnected he was with people.
Broken.
One or the other.
Broken.
Yeah, just broken. It's,
you know, the word, Tamara, disconnect, is one that we've adapted to, I think, too freely in this nation. You know, phones get disconnected. Yeah. You know, we lose the line. And people don't understand, like, you know, when you lose a line and you're on an important phone call, how frustrated we get. Isn't it true? And it's like we need to understand that that's the same thing as spirits. When we're in a disconnect from one another, the frustration that lingers, we just get upset when we lose a phone call. So imagine when we lose the connection with another spirit. That's the depth of what those words really mean.
Yes. And, you know, when we are connected and when we touch another life, when we feel the joy of God pulsating through our bodies in a synergistic golden glow of light, there is enormous joy to be experienced in this short-lived life we have on this planet. And when the light is gone, it's dark and it's lonely. And if we can remind somebody, anybody, it could be the grocery clerk as we're checking out our groceries. It could be, you know, the guy ringing the bell in front of the
store.
See,
you know, and I love that you bring this up, because that's why I'm having Trista on tonight with the 12 gifts of Christmas. Because last week we spoke about some of them. And one of them was, you know, to buy a gift card for your local EMS or for your crossing guard, you know, and just like, you know, stuff like that gives back, that connects us with humanity. And so, you know what, Tamara, we're talking about light. And there's just a song that I feel we need the energy picked up. And when we come back, we're going to have a clip from our president, from Barack Obama, and also Hunter Cross is going to join us just so we can get some clarity as to now how the nation will heal. So this little light of mine on Max and Friends. And when we're back, Hunter Cross, Tamara Montana, and Max Tucci will be here helping you help heal. We'll be right back, people.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Oh, this little light of mine.
I'm going to let it shine, people. Well, we've got Hunter Cross here with us. We've got Tamara Montana back. And we're just going to talk about now how, as a nation, we can heal, we can forgive, we can move forward. Let's play the clip from Barack Obama today. President Barack Obama, Ronan, please play that clip.
Can we honestly say that we're doing enough to keep our children, all of them, safe from harm? Can we claim, as a nation, that we're all together there, letting them know that they're loved and teaching them to love in return? Can we say that we're truly doing enough to give all the children of this country the chance they deserve to live out their lives in happiness and with purpose? I've been reflecting on this the last few days, and if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no. We're not doing enough. And we will have to change. Since I've been president, this is the fourth time we have come together to comfort a grieving community torn apart by mass shootings. Fourth time we've hugged survivors. The fourth time we've consoled the families of victims. And in between, there have been an endless series of deadly shootings across the country, almost daily reports of victims, many of them children, in small towns and big cities all across America. Victims whose, much of the time, their only fault was being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We can't tolerate this anymore. These tragedies must end. And to end them, we must change. We will be told that the causes of such violence are complex, and that is true. No single law, no set of laws can eliminate evil from the world or prevent every senseless act of violence in our society. But that can't be an excuse for inaction. Surely we can do better than this.
Surely we can do better than this. Hunter Cross, welcome to Max and Friends. In a time where our nation is healing, we're here at Max and Friends trying to give them some understanding and clarity. So break down for us what President Obama was saying in his speech that he gave to Sandy Hook.
Well, thanks for having me, Max. I think what the president was trying to say without using the actual words was that we need to get a handle on how we treat guns and their accessibility and how they affect us. We really have kind of – we've simply bought into this idea that somehow people kill people, guns don't kill people. And it is true, obviously, that a gun sitting on a table doesn't leap off of the table and kill somebody. However – you know, we hear also people saying things like, well, we don't ban cars, and cars kill more people than guns do, so we're not banning cars. And I think that when we hear that kind of dialogue, that kind of dialogue is intended to trigger the fears of the people who fear that their guns will be taken away. But when people talk about gun control, no one is talking about taking anyone's guns away, or not, at least not taking all of them away. The people have a constitutional right in this country to bear arms. It's been reaffirmed by the Supreme Court of the United States a number of times. We can have debates about whether or not the Constitution really means what people say it means. But for now, The Supreme Court of the United States has said you have a right to bear arms. And so what really comes down to is not whether you have a right to bear arms or not, but whether you have a right to bear whatever arms you feel like it. And in this case, we had an assault rifle that was used. We've had assault rifles used in other types of crimes like this.
Well, look what just happened today. An Indiana man was arrested having 47 guns in his home. Where does it stop?
Well, it isn't even the volume of the guns. It's what kind of weapons are we as a society willing to allow citizens to have to use at will. There isn't any – I think that if we had bans on assault weapons and they were much more difficult to come by – that's not to say criminals wouldn't get them. Of course they would. But – I think
this child was a 20-year-old. He wasn't a criminal. We say, you know, guns don't kill, but it's broken people. He was a 20-year-old baby himself. He wasn't even legal to drink in this country, right. You know. And he wasn't a criminal. He was broken.
This is why these kinds of events cause us as a country to have a dialogue about this. But we're never going to be able to fit the facts of some tragedies are just tragic, and you can't come up with a law, and this I think is what the president was trying to say, you can't come up with a law or a series of laws that is going to prevent every tragedy that's ever going to happen. In this case, you're never going to find a law that's going to prevent some nutty person, whether it's a nutty 20-year-old or I'm using the word nutty, I think, a little bit too loosely. I think Tamara may challenge me for using that word. People who are challenged, people who have mental issues – whatever the reason that they're doing this and whatever their age, having a law in place that makes it illegal for them to do it is never going to stop. I've often told people that people often come to me and they ask me, well, can't we get some kind of a judge to order that this person shouldn't do it? And I said, you can't have a judge order people not to be crazy. People who have mental illness are going to do things without thinking. And no matter what laws you have in place, you know, they're still going to do it. The question is, will they do it with an assault weapon? Will they do it with a weapon that where the people who are victims have no way of defending themselves? Because you could have people who are deranged, like Timothy McVeigh, blow up an entire building with fertilizer. He didn't use any assault weapons. No law would have prevented him from doing what he did. So there are things like this where, you know, this person could have come into the school with a handgun and done lots of damage. But once you put these kinds of automatic weapons in people's hands or make them readily available, you're going to have these kinds of things. So when we have a debate about what we can do in this country to try and minimize it, you're never going to get rid of it. But to minimize it, the least we can do is try and make the kinds of weapons that are available to people more difficult to get, the ones that cause the most damage, weapons of mass destruction, if you will. Let's minimize their ability to get those. And there really aren't too many arguments in favor of having these weapons.
Well, Tamara, what were you going to say?
Well, how big of an influence, I think more than anything, are like the video games. You know, that world that kids consume themselves in and see people being blown up. It's right. It's they become immune to it.
They're desensitized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Or they're not only becoming desensitized, but they are titillated by the action of creating havoc. That's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah. Well, Hunter, what do you think is we are as right now a platform, as a radio show? You know, I had the opportunity to have someone from the NRA come on tonight, and I declined the opportunity because I don't believe that this platform, my show, is a stage for them to come and say we need more guns, which is what they're saying. So, you know, what do you think we need right now as a nation to progress and to get these assault weapons off of the streets and out of the hands of 20-year-old children?
We need to have a government that responds to the needs of the people and not to the needs of special interest groups like the NRA. I don't like to paint the NRA as some kind of an evil organization. They have a constituency that they want to serve, and they have a right to serve their constituency. But what I don't believe they have a right to do is create a political environment where people who would typically be able to speak freely and have an open dialogue about the things we need to do in this country are frozen because of the risk of having to deal with their enormous political power and money. You know, this last election cycle, the NRA hardly spent any money at all on political campaigns. Why? Because they have had such a history of creating so much turmoil that they can't, neither party was willing to touch gun control. You never heard it mentioned in the entire campaign. Gun control wasn't mentioned, and the NRA had nothing to do with it except the fact that they had a war chest that they could use at their disposal. So they create fear, and there's a chilling effect on conversation in this country about what we can do to try and control the kinds of weapons that we allow our citizens to have. Yeah, we can have guns. I get it. I understand why people want to have weapons, but and the idea that we should be arming more people, that we should have somehow the teachers should be armed, I don't think that arming people – we would have different kinds of tragic events if not only the shooters had guns, but the teachers and the principals had guns too. We would have people who are ill-equipped and not skilled using weapons, firing them around children. It would be the tragedies would just be different. I think they'd just be different.
You know, what blows my mind literally is that, you know, the little riddle growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now kids have to say sticks and stones won't break my bones, but bullets are going to kill me. I mean, that's just the reality of what's going on in schools. So, Hunter, I thank you for being here tonight. Before we wrap this segment, Tamara, where are we as a nation? What can we tell our listeners tonight? Where can we be to heal the brokenness that people suffered this week?
Oh, Max, that's such a beautiful question, because I think that kindness so much is the ointment for what is missing. When you look at someone and you just acknowledge them and you remind them that they matter in this, on this planet and in this world. And I know what it felt like as a kid to just have somebody acknowledge me like, Tamara, you're a good kid. Really? You know, I mean, I was like the black sheep, and it was just like I was always in trouble or something. But when someone took that time to just say, hey, I noticed something's going on, and that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take all of us individually noticing each other, appreciating each other, lifting each other up. When one is fallen, when one is broken, we've all got the remedy. We've all got the ointment. We've got the mending power within us. And to reach out and say, I care about you, instead of just going along our daily busy, you know, tunnel vision of what's only important to us, is to just open our eyes and just stop. And like you said, Max, be still and know that I am God, that what you do to another, you do to yourself. And by uplifting someone else, you are depositing into mankind. You are depositing into spirit. Every time we acknowledge someone else and notice that someone's broken, and then offer remedies, offer resources, offer, you know, hey, maybe I can't help you, but I know someone who can. It's like what you're up to, Max, with these orphanages. You know, it's finding a place where people belong and where they matter, no matter who they are or where they come from, what socioeconomic background. Everybody is important and everyone's special. And when we're reminded of that, we would never think of doing harm to another.
Absolutely. Well, Tamara, that was beautifully said. Will you stay with us, Tamara, for the 12 Gifts of Christmas?
You bet.
All right. Hunter Cross, thank you for joining us and giving us those words of wisdom that our nation, you know, can kind of grasp and understand coming from you. So we thank you for joining us tonight on Max and Friends.
Thanks for having me, Max.
My pleasure. So, everyone, you know what I always say, even though, you know, we don't know how to forgive one another or how to process the forgiveness pattern, it just doesn't come to us, you know, naturally. When you know better, you do better. So I teach you all tonight to forgive, and one way to forgive is to give back. And that's exactly what Xavier Lewis is singing in this song that we're going to play for you. And when we're back, we're going to have Trista with us with the remaining 12 gifts of Christmas and giving back to our community, to the ones we love, and to our nation. And I give to you all now, give back on Max and Friends. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Be right back.
Oh, clouds and all the tears strolling down on your faces. But I know all the while it's gonna be okay, yes it is. Just open up your eyes.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back, y'all. This is the time to give back. You know, we need to spread our wings. We need to dry our eyes and lift our heads to the skies, as Xavier Lewis just sang, and give back. Now, that's one artist that's really doing something global, people, speaking of give back, because if you go to the iTunes store and put the words give back and the word unicorn, or Xavier Lewis and the word unicorn, what he's done at the iTunes store there is he's donated 70% of the profits that are sold by that song to the unicornchildrensfoundation.org, which is one of my passions, which is a school, an organization that we're working with right now. We're building a school called the Unicorn Village Academy. .org if you want more information on that. But it is time to give back, people. The holidays are here. I know our hearts are heavy, but the reason why we give back is to make them a little bit lighter and to make things feel good in ourselves. And if we all gave back in the beginning, if we all gave back to start with, times wouldn't seem so heavy. So Xavier Lewis, I have to thank you for giving us the song Give Back and for donating the proceeds to the Unicorn Children's Foundation. What amazes me, literally amazes me, is that he's not making 1 cent, because 70% goes to Unicorn Children's Foundation and the rest of it, the 30%, goes to iTunes. So maybe we need to get iTunes on board and give up their percentage, because if we sell 1 million songs, people, that's $700,000 that will go to the Unicorn Children's Foundation. It's global. It's paying it forward. And that's why Trista's back here tonight to give us the remaining 5 gifts of Christmas. There's 12 in total, but we gave you the 7 of them last week. So, Trista, welcome back to Max and Friends. And Tamara, I'm so glad you joined us and stayed with us, because you're going to get inspired with Trista's wonderful global outreach and how we can give back. Welcome back, Trista.
Hi, Max. Thanks for having me back. You want me to start with day 5, correct?
You know what? Let's start with the concept real quick. If anyone missed last week's show, they can get the archive at the Max and Friends Archives, almost 5 years of shows. But let's talk about the concept of what Give Back really is.
Okay. The 12 Gifts of Christmas, I was an event that I started last year. And to be honest, it was a very random idea, and I had no idea that it would become a global event. But basically, obviously everyone knows the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, and I took that concept and changed the title to The 12 Gifts of Christmas. So I think especially around the holidays, people want to be generous. They want to give. A lot of people just don't know where to start. So this is an event that was started in order to inspire others to not be so focused on the materialistic version of Christmas that, society tells us, you know, we need to get more presents under the tree, for example, and instead shift our focus to giving to others during this Christmas season.
We give back during the Christmas season and we pay it forward for life. Isn't that a great concept, Tamara?
Oh, my gosh. I absolutely love that. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, you know what? Let's go jump right into it. We're going to pick up on number 5, and this is literally from California. So how do we pay it forward with number 5?
Okay, so day 5 will be December 20th. This is something that the author of Pay It Forward, Catherine Ryan Hyde, this was actually her idea personally. So I love it. It's very unique. If anyone has not heard of Heifer International, that's H-E-I-S-E-R, you should check it out. This is an organization that all they do is pay it forward, and they don't give handouts to impoverished families. They actually, this is a quote from their website, by giving families a hand up, not just a handout, we empower them to turn lives of hunger and poverty into self-reliance and hope. And I love that. So basically, this is something where you can donate $5, $10, $20, whatever you would like, and that money actually goes to, for example, a dozen eggs. You would be donating a dozen eggs to these families. That's also paid forward, and they actually learn to, you know, sell, or they have livestock, so they'll learn to sell them the eggs that the chickens lay, and that all helps them be more self-sustainable, and they also pay it forward to other families in need. So
absolutely. So on December 20th, that's what we're going to do with number 5. And number 4?
Number 4 is December 21st. That is going to be to make a holiday card for a child or children in the hospital and deliver them to one in your community. So whatever hospital's around, just drop it off. It'll obviously brighten a child that's not having a very good time. It'll brighten their day.
You know, and I love that one, because right now, you know, we're in this whole time that we just spoke about at the top of the show where, you know, kids are having a difficult time this year. So I know I don't want to change the list, but I want to add to number 4, because the list, everyone, you could find on the 12 Gifts of Christmas. They have a page there you could follow on Facebook. But I think this year for number 4, as well as the hospital with children there, just write a note to children in school saying how much you love them and that, you know, they're safe and that they'll get through this. Because kids right now are really suffering watching all the news about what happened at Sandy Hook. So just write a random letter to a kid at school and send it to their principals to let kids know that we love them and that it's safe to be in school. So what's number 3, my friend Trista?
So number 3, this is something that I actually came up with, and it is to instead of talking about, you know, doing better, it's to actually go out and volunteer at a local organization in your community. So whether that's an hour, whether that's just you stopping by a shelter, saying hi, dropping off something, or half a day, that's totally up to you. But it will obviously you know, provide you a sense of joy knowing that you've made someone else's day a bit brighter.
Absolutely. And number two, we're winding down on the 12 gifts of Christmas. What do we do on the 23rd day of December?
Okay, so this came from Corpus Christi, Texas. Sean's idea is to, when you're gathering items for donation around your house, so whether that be clothes or food, whatever the case may be, instead of dropping them off at, you know, your local Goodwill, not that there's anything wrong with that, his idea was to actually leave them in the back of your car. When you're going around, you know, driving around your day, look for people that are actually in need of these items and deliver to them, you know, deliver it to them personally. So whether it's someone that you know of, a neighbor that might be in need, or a random person on the street that might need those extra gloves or coat in your car, you actually are giving it to someone that you know needs it, which I love.
Love that. And if you're in Florida, warm climate, keep some extra low suntan lotion with a high SPF in the car so you can give it to them so they don't get burned. And what's number one on the 12 gifts of Christmas? Trista, we're so glad you joined us tonight and you're inspiring us with these gifts. What is number one on the 24th day of December that we're all supposed to do?
Number one came from my friend Jason Radford in Kansas City, Missouri, and he actually... It's pretty broad because obviously there's some people that live in very urban areas, others in rural areas. So this is something that can be done. You can kind of tweak it to wherever you live. So one of his ideas was to leave change by your library's printer or copy machine. You could also walk down the street and feed a few parking meters, someone that's maybe running out of minutes. You could even tape a dollar to a vending machine. You'll probably make some little kids stay there. Or even leave a few bucks at a subway station and someone that needs to get somewhere that maybe is a little short, that'll help them pay for their public transportation.
And make life just a little bit easier, right?
There you go. Yep.
Well, I love this whole 12 gifts of Christmas. Where can people find the full list, Trista?
The full list can be found on my direct blog or in the Facebook event. So the actual blog is www.chicagonow.com/chain-links.
And the Facebook page?
And that will bring you. The Facebook page is a lot of numbers. I can give them to you. Or
you know what?
I think
tweet
last thing.
Where are you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at TristaWilson1.
And you can follow me at Max Tucci on Twitter, and we'll have that list for you there with a full image of it so you could have the 12 gifts of Christmas in your pocket. Continue them throughout the year, everyone. And Trista, thank you for being here tonight and spreading the love and the 12 gifts of Christmas. Job well done.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me back. You have a great night.
Have a good night, Trista.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, and happy holidays. You see how wonderful that is, Tamara, when we just get all involved with the nation and we give back. Wasn't that a wonderful concept, the 12 gifts of Christmas?
Oh, I love paying it forward. You know, Benji, we're taking him to a children's hospital on Christmas Day.
Benji's your dog, for all the listeners who are tuning in who don't know Tamara's dog. If you want to know more about Tamara, go to latalkradio.com/max with a capital M-A-X.php. And you can see all of us there and all of my inner circle friends. Tamara's been here for a long time. So what are you going to do with Benji?
Benji is going to dress up in a Santa suit. And I'm telling you, it is such a blessing for us as well. We're going to go to the children's pediatric ward at our local hospital here. We've got it all set up, and he's going to make his rounds as Mr. Benji Santa Claus and just giving his unconditional love and watching those kids light up and seeing something familiar as a furry four-legged baby. Is there's just nothing like it.
There's nothing like a dog's love, right?
Oh, unconditional.
Well, Tamara, we started off with a hard show, and we've kind of let it end on a high note with giving back the 12 gifts of Christmas. And I thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure having you back on Max and Friends. And if we can make the world just a little bit better, then that's what we're here to do. Right, Tamara?
Oh, amen. Amen, brother.
And I wish you a very happy, happy holiday, a very Merry Christmas, a joyous new year. And you know, Tamara, just because things might seem sad right now, joy comes in the morning.
Yes. And out of the ashes, I rise.
I rise. I rise. Well, everyone, I hope you all just have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. You know, it might seem like, you know, we're going through hell. And as I always say, if you're going through hell, don't stop. So on that note, everyone, CBS News is coming up next. It's been a pleasure having you all tune in tonight. I hope we gave you some words of wisdom, some encouragement, and most of all, some love on Max and Friends. Like I say at every show, take life to the max, and we're going to lead you out with the song, Childhood, because these children are our future, and the ones that are no longer with us from Sandy Hook School, your names will forever reign and forever ring in our ears and our hearts and our moments, to be still and know that your life was not in vain. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and thank you for tuning in to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio every Sunday night. I'm your host, and I love you all for listening. Good night.
Good night, everybody.